Our first lesson today is found in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. The Revelation of John. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Our psalm for today is Psalm 46, for the director of music of the Sons of Korah, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. And he lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and let us see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Jesus is speaking. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here ends the gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I consider it an absolute privilege to have the opportunity to share the message with you this morning. I have had hundreds of opportunities to share the message in worship, but almost all of those opportunities are in worship for children only. So I do count it a privilege to have the opportunity to share the message with the entire congregation today. Okay. And normally when I'm leading the message with the kids, what I'm actually doing is leading another group of young people so that they can share the message with the children. And I always begin by reminding the teens that the message that we have to share is not our own words, but it's God's word that needs to be shared. It is God's word that is necessary. It is God's word that is sufficient. And we're reminded of that in our very first reading for today from Revelation 14. Here comes another angel that John sees, and this angel has a message to proclaim, and this message is the eternal gospel, the eternal gospel. The angel has an audience to whom the message is given. This eternal gospel is for those who live on the earth, every nation, tribe, language, and people. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that includes us. And the specific message that the angel begins with is two words: fear God. Fear God. Now I thought that the gospel message, the eternal gospel, was that Jesus Christ died for our sins, yours and mine. That Jesus Christ rose on the third day, and that his resurrection gives us hope of life. And that Jesus Christ reigns eternally in heaven, which offers us the hope for an eternity in heaven with him. Isn't that the gospel message? What is this fear God that the angel starts with? Well, I think it's simply this. What heart is ready to receive the gospel, the good news of the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and reigning of Jesus Christ, and the hope that that brings us? What person is prepared for that gospel message? What person is prepared for a Savior? Only a person that realizes their need to be saved. Only a person that has an honest assessment of where they stand in the presence of a holy God. That is the person that is ready to receive the eternal gospel. So we have to examine ourselves constantly to ask, where do I stand in relation to God? What is my current situation? What is my situation apart from God's Son, Jesus Christ? Fear God, the angel says. Give him glory. God's judgment is here. Worship the one that created everything. If you don't know where you stand, you're not ready to receive the gospel. Thinking about that, I was reminded of an incident that occurred about 14 years ago now that taught me exactly where I stand in relation to my family. See, my children, I have three. They were much younger. I think they were about 2, 4, and 6 at the time. Heather was probably close to 3, and she's the youngest. And I was home alone with the children. Now, that wasn't a normal occurrence. Holly was usually with us. My wife had the major responsibility for raising the children. She stayed home while I worked. But she was out and about, and I was on my own with the kids, and that didn't bother me at all. I was quite comfortable in my role as father. And down the hall, I heard a thud. Now, only a split second passed after hearing that thud, but I knew what was coming. I was immediately upon hearing that thud, I was expecting a cry to come out. And I was preparing myself for my job as dad, for what would come as a result of that thud. Okay? I didn't get a cry, I got a whimper and one word. Thud! Oh! Dad! Faster than a speeding bullet. More, well, you know how it goes. I was ready for the task. Down the hall I ran, round the corner. I see Heather holding her knee. What, Heather? What can I do? Dad! Get Mom! Well, that's where I stand. That's when I learned that there are troubles and problems that are beyond my power to control. There are problems that require a higher power than that of Dad. There are troubles that can only be addressed by the supreme power, Mom. First point for today is know where you stand. And the second point for today is to know that there are troubles beyond our power. Now, today is Reformation Sunday, and I would be remiss if I did not at least mention Martin Luther. I don't think Martin Luther had trouble knowing exactly where he stood. He realized that he was a sinner. And I don't think he had trouble realizing that his troubles were beyond his control. He knew that he needed God and God's forgiveness. But Luther maybe took this to extremes. He was famous for being tormented by his sins and going to confession and with extremely long lists of sins that he would recount, making sure that he didn't leave anything out, thinking that if I forget one sin, maybe God won't forgive that sin and I'll be in my hopeless state standing before a holy God. Yes, the solution to my sin, Luther thought, is beyond my control. I can't handle this by myself. Our final hymn today is going to be one of Luther's famous hymns, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It comes from Psalm 46, our psalm for today. And Luther is famous for whenever he encountered any specific difficulty, he would say, come, let us sing the 46th psalm. God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble, our fortress. We need not fear, for God is in control. Look how God is in control. He speaks and the earth responds. He makes wars cease across the earth. There is no trouble that God cannot handle. just look how God provides. The psalmist says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the place where the Most High dwells. I love that image. That image of the river whose streams make glad goes throughout the Bible. Isaiah 55 starts with, let those who are thirsty come to me. In John 4, Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well says, if you knew who was standing in front of you, you would ask him and he would give you living water. The water I give, Jesus says, will become a spring welling up to eternal life within you. And a few chapters later, Jesus proclaims, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow within him. And in the very next verse, John explains to us what Jesus meant by these streams of living water. It's the Holy Spirit, John says, that God would later send. God living in us. The final book of the Bible, Revelations 22, begins with John saying, and the angel showed me the river of the water of life, flowing from the throne and from the Lamb. There is a river whose streams make glad. God is in control. God does provide for what we need. Our points are this. One, know where you stand in front of a holy God. Without knowing that, you're not ready to receive the gospel. Two, know that our problem, our trouble, our sin is beyond our control. And three, know who the solution is. Jesus Christ. We hear that every week. We know this every week, but I don't think we agonize over it in the same way that Luther did. I don't think that we stay awake nights tormented by our own sin and shortcomings. But yet, our service each week begins with one, a statement of where we stand. We say, we confess that we are in bondage to sin. Two, a statement that the solution to our trouble is beyond us when we say, and cannot free ourselves. We confess that this morning. We confess that every Sunday morning. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. And three, who the solution is, we are reminded every Sunday. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. And then again, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. I didn't come up with those ideas. Luther didn't come up with those ideas. Those ideas are recorded in Scripture. Those are the ideas that we see in our New Testament reading and in our gospel reading for today. It is our job to proclaim God's word, not our own. Romans chapter 3. The message is the eternal gospel. The audience is those in Rome. And then God used Paul's letter to the Romans to include us as part of that audience by including this letter in the Bible. The specific message that Paul shares doesn't begin in Romans 3. It actually begins in Romans 1, verse 16. I encourage you to start there today and read all the way through Romans 3:28. 1:16 through 3:28, it's one continuous thought. The message is this: we are sinners and we are lost on our own. Okay? And everyone should be aware of that. Two, we can't fix the problem. The law, the Old Testament scriptures, the commandments, they're not the solution. It is beyond our control to handle our own trouble. But three, God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Verse 21 of chapter 3, which we read this morning, Paul writes, "But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known." The solution is not within us. It is from God, and it is separate from our ability to keep God's law. And the summary verse is verse 28, the last thing we read. "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law." This was Luther's revelation. This was actually what started the Reformation. Luther's revelation of coming to grips with, I am not made right with God by what I do, but I am made right with God by what God has done for me. That is the eternal gospel. It's shared again by Jesus himself in John chapter 8. The message, once again, was the eternal gospel. The audience, we're told in verse 31, was Jesus was speaking to the Jews who believed in him. And God included John's gospel in the Bible, and so therefore Jesus was also speaking to us. And the specific message began at the beginning of John chapter 8, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. And if you are not walking in that light, you will die in your sins." That's the trouble, the problem. You need to be set free. And that's where our gospel picked up today with the Jews, and perhaps us, denying that we are slaves. "We're children of Abraham," they said. "We've never been slaves to anyone." Jesus responds, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," we heard in our New Testament reading. Therefore, we are all slaves to sin. That's the position that we find ourselves in. That is where we stand. The problem is beyond us. Jesus goes on to say, the slave has no permanent place. You have no permanent place in the household. But there is a solution. I am the Son. The Son does have a permanent place in the household. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. When Heather was just a child, she fell. And in the moment that she fell, she realized three things. One, there's a problem. She realized that she hurt, that something was wrong, that this is bad. My current situation is not right. Two, she realized, I can't fix this. I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need a lot of help. I don't need Dad's help. I need serious help. Three, there is a help for me. The ultimate. I need Mom. Well, that's a 2 or 3 year old's understanding. We need to be there ourselves. My prayer for us today is simply this. One, that we don't deny where we stand. We stand before God as sinners in a hopeless and helpless situation apart from the grace of God. Because two, we are unable by our own strength and our own power to change the situation in which we find ourselves. We can't follow the commandments as a way to make us right with God. Our situation by our own power is helpless. And three, there is a solution. And his name is Jesus. And that's our only hope. That is the eternal gospel. Acknowledge where we are. Slaves to sin. Acknowledge how we stand, hopeless and helpless, apart from God. And turn to the solution. Because if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen.